Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son, the one who teaches us. As we've heard the last couple of weeks in Mark chapters 9 and now we're in Mark chapter 10, Jesus is doing a lot of teaching. Tonight, he's teaching as a result of a question that was asked of him. I hope you noticed that as Anne read the scripture readings, Genesis 2, the institution of marriage, Ephesians 5, the whole explanation of husbands and wives, and now the gospel reading from Mark chapter 10. The Pharisees come to Jesus and ask Jesus about a divorce, and Jesus tells them, everyone should get a divorce. That's really what he said. Let's find out about that tonight, as he does tell us of what that means. There was a young man who came to his pastor's office one day, and he came in and he said, Pastor, I'm sick and tired of my marriage. I don't love my wife anymore, and I want a divorce. And the pastor said, good. It shocked him, because he knew that his pastor upheld marriage very, very highly and really preached and taught and so on against divorce. And he didn't quite understand what the pastor was saying when all of a sudden, so fast, without even thinking about it, the pastor says, good. But then the pastor immediately continued and he said, you know, if you feel that way about your marriage, I wonder how your wife feels. He thought for just a moment and he said, you know, Pastor, to be real honest with you, I really don't care, and I haven't cared for a long time what my wife thinks and what she feels, but, you know, that's something I need to be thinking about. And then the pastor said, I want you to get a divorce. I want you and your wife both to get a divorce from the kind of marriage that you've been living and have the kind of marriage that God wants for you. God wants us to divorce the kind of false love that we have. This message, some of you might say, oh, I'm single or whatever it might be, and so this really doesn't apply to me. But when Jesus says everyone should get a divorce, he's talking to everyone, even the children. He's talking about getting a divorce from the self-love that ruins relationships. From the selfish, self kind of love that ruins all the relationships that we have, that ruins our relationship with God, and that ruins our relationship with each other, and that what ruins Christian marriages. Jesus would come to us, and he would have us to know that divorce is so harmful to his children, and that's why Malachi talks about, I hate divorce. Now, what he's talking about is the worldly kind of divorce, the worldly kind of sinful divorce, the kind of divorce where one or maybe both spouses just give up and they don't try and amend their ways. They don't get a divorce from the selfish, sinful kind of a life. Jesus would come and say, I tell you, anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another, commits adultery. As Jesus talks about divorce, he does not want divorce for anyone, the worldly kind of divorce. He does not want those human relationships that where God has brought together one man and one woman, what God has joined together, let man not separate. God does not want those kinds of separations. And so as he talks about those kinds of separations, he would say, get a divorce from your selfishness. Get a divorce from the sinfulness that is causing the problems in the marriage. Get a divorce from only loving yourself. And instead, through confession and through absolution and through new life, get that life that I would have for you. You see, Jesus knows that every one of us was born sinful, that we have sin that just clings so closely to us, no matter what our station in life is, no matter how it is, if we're single or married or whatever it might be, how sin is so close. And this is a beautiful image of sin, because what sin is being turned in upon ourselves, only loving ourselves. And so Jesus would come and say, get a divorce from this kind of a relationship. Get a divorce from living this kind of a way. Quit thinking this way. Quit living this way. Don't be turned in upon yourself. Instead, what I would have you to be is how I created you. How I created you is to be in the image of God, to be God's image of being open and loving, and first of all, receiving God's gifts, and then as we receive God's gifts, we can give those gifts to others. Get a divorce from being closed in upon yourself and selfishness and self-centeredness, and then live that beautiful and righteous life that only I can give. Now, you heard, because we heard it in the gospel reading, as these religious leaders are coming and are trying to trap Jesus, all right, is it lawful for a man to get a divorce? Jesus gives the right answer, of course, but he gives the answer that we say as well. What does the Bible say? Jesus turns it back upon them and says, what was written? What do the scriptures write? And those Pharisees were correct. Moses permitted a man to divorce his wife. Because of sinfulness in our lives, because so many refuse to turn from that sinful selfishness, because if one or maybe both parties refuse to work at it and to repent and to change, that marriage can't continue on. And because of hardness of heart, because of that hardness of sinfulness, that divorce is permitted. Permitted for two reasons, as Jesus tells us. Jesus tells us in Matthew that if there is unfaithfulness, if there is love given to someone else outside the marriage and it continues on time and time again and there's no repentance and no forgiveness, that marriage is broken. And then divorce needs to happen. It needs to happen because that marriage has already died. It's not God's will. It's certainly not God's will. But it is a reality because of sin in the world. It's a reality because of hardness of heart. The other reason why there might be a divorce would be desertion. 1 Corinthians talks about if an unbeliever leaves, let them go. If someone refuses to be what Jesus Christ would have them to be and acknowledge Jesus Christ in their lives and would deny that, then there can be no marriage there either. And because of, again, hardness of heart, there is that sin and allowance of divorce. Jesus hates divorce, but loves the people. Jesus loves every person so much, he doesn't want the terrible things that sin does in lives. I have family members that have suffered a divorce. I know how terrible that is. Many of you either know it personally or know it from families or friends or whoever it is. It's a terrible thing. It hurts all people. And Jesus doesn't want that for us. And that's why he says, get a divorce from the selfishness and the sinfulness, the things that cause those broken relationships, that cause that stress in relationships. Divorce from that, but not from the married person, if that's at all possible. How important it is that if we find out that we have a heart problems, if we go in and the doctor says, oh, there's a heart problem there. It looks like maybe hardening of the arteries, or maybe there's a blockage there or something. You know what the world would say is, get a divorce. The world would say, just stop it and just end it. We would say, we would never do something like that. No, we'll do some radical surgery. We'll go in and do whatever is necessary to try and fix that heart blockage or that hardening in the heart or whatever it might be. We'll do whatever it takes to go to the hospital or have a surgery or something. And yet with marriages anymore, that's not the answer. The world's answer is to just put an end to it, to stop it. Jesus would come in. And he would do the radical surgery. He would say, divorce from that sinful, selfish self-nature and repent of that. Realize how what you have been doing or saying or whatever it might be has been a problem for this. And then through repentance, through asking for forgiveness, through granting forgiveness, through a reconciliation process, that God can and does and wants to restore what God has joined together. Let no man put asunder or separate. God's in the business of creating new hearts. God's in the business of creating new hearts and healing hearts. God is in the business of healing brokenness. And in that healing of brokenness, He and He alone can come and really change hearts, can really change people. Now, just like after you have a surgery, a heart surgery, it's not an immediate thing that you're going to run the marathon. It's going to take a while for some healing to happen. The same thing in our relationships. As God comes and heals in our relationship, it takes time and a continuation as He continues to bring that healing to you and to me and to those relationships. How interesting it is in Mark chapter 10, as the Pharisees are asking about divorce, and Jesus answers it and says, it's not that way from the beginning. You need to get a divorce from the kind of marriage that you're thinking about, that we also have this talking about little children. I think it's fascinating in a couple of ways, because divorce always hurts children, but also because in that marriage, as Jesus speaks about getting a divorce from the sinful kinds of things and of marriage, He wants all His children to be blessed. He wants to bless and give His blessing to all His children, the little ones as well as the big ones. And how significant it is that after He talks about this, divorce is because of hardness of heart and because of selfishness, then some parents are bringing little children to Jesus so that Jesus could bless them and touch them and hold them and hug them, just like Jesus loved to do. And you know what those selfish disciples said? You know, they said the same thing that broken marriages say. Don't have time for that. No, that's not according to what I want. That's not my way. And they tried to keep the children away from Jesus. And Jesus was indignant with them. That's a strong word. Jesus was very upset with those disciples of His. And He says, let those little children come unto me and don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. How significant it is as we talk about this being divorced from our sinfulness and selfishness to understand that Jesus loves all people. All people, no matter their age or their situation in life or whatever it might be. And He wants them to come to Him. He wants to bless them and to bless them in the gracious ways of receiving His gifts. And so He continually gives to us His gifts. He gives to all of us, whether married or not married, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, how necessary that is. He reminds us that in our baptism, we get a brand new start each and every day. Through our baptism, we are drowned and die with our sins and raised to new life. He reminds us as we come to church and we confess our sins and say, I have sinned again. And Jesus says, I forgive you all your sins. As we come and receive His true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith, our focus turns away from our sinful selves and focuses back upon Jesus Christ and all that He does for us and all of His love for us. And He empowers us then. He empowers us to live new lives and to be different, to have a divorce from our sinful selfishness and to go out and to live a new life. How important it is that Jesus helps us to know that He comes and He, first of all, fixes that vertical relationship. When we're living in sin, that relationship with God is broken. And Jesus comes to fix that relationship. And as that relationship is fixed and as He fills us with His love, then the relationship with each other is also fixed and is blessed, and we're able to share that. Jesus wants us to know how much He loves us And so that's why he gave his life for us. This is how much I love you, Jesus says, as he placed his arms on the cross and how he died for you and for me. God's word assures us of his great love. God's word assures us of what he wants for you and for me and for all people, and that is his rich blessings. There was a teacher, school teacher, that part of what she wanted her class to do is draw me a picture of what you would like when you grow up, what you would like to be when you grow up. Most of the class got busy, a fireman and a teacher and I hope a pastor, and all kinds of different things that they were doing. But there was one little girl. The teacher noticed that the little girl was sitting there and she was thinking really hard and she hadn't drawn anything on her paper yet. And the teacher came over to her and said, "Are you having trouble deciding what you want to be when you grow up?" And the little girl said, "Oh, no, I know what I want to be when I grow up." And the teacher said, "Well, maybe I can help you. What is it that you want to be when you grow up?" And she said, "Happily married." The teacher thought for a moment, and the teacher thought, "Well, let me help you draw happily married. First thing that you want to do is you want to draw a line in God coming down and blessing you, God filling you with his blessings. And then after you draw that line down, then draw a line across as far as husband and wife, God's love coming to you, and then happily married as that love is shared with each other. And then place inside that picture Jesus Christ. Because happily married means that Jesus Christ lives and abides there and continues to bring his blessings to that husband and that wife and that beautiful relationship. What do you want to be when you grow up? Happily married. That's what Jesus wants for us as well. To be blessed by him, to continue to receive his gracious blessings each and every day, whether we're married or not married or whatever the situation might be. And so he tells us, get a divorce. Not from each other, but a divorce from that sinful, selfish nature that is so much a part of us. May God grant to you and to me that gracious gift of Jesus Christ, his creating new hearts in us, until life everlasting. Amen.